Colossians 1. We'll read verses 15 through 23. Colossians 1. I want to talk to you about this passage is about the fullness of Christ. You know, we hear a lot about the fullness of the Spirit. To be honest with you, most people just full of themselves. But I want to talk to you tonight about the fullness of Christ. Let's turn, if you will, to Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to begin with verse 15. Well, I better start with verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith grounded and settled and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Now he's talking about the fullness of Christ, and by that he means in all, everywhere, in everything. Everything was created by him and for him and consists, it stays, it sustains, it's still here by him. All principalities, all powers, all dominions, you could even say down into the minute molecules of our body. Every bit of that was made by him and for him. Now, of course, we were alienated, he said. But in verse 15, first part of that verse, he said he's the image of the invisible God. You remember they asked Jesus, said, when are you going to show us the Father? And he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So he is the image of the invisible God. Now, he's also the origin of every creature there in verse 15, he says. The firstborn of every creature. Now, he's the creator of all things, according to verse 16. Look at that, verse 16. And for by him were all things created. And then John, if you got your Bible, John chapter 1 says this, verse 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. So he is the creator of all things, everything. And he's the Word of God. So the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the living Word. He took on the form of a man as a servant, there being born as a virgin, living a sinless life, and dying in our place. By him, the Word of God, was everything created that was created. In verse 17, the first part of that verse, he says, and he is before all things. So not only is he the creator of all things and the originator of every creature, he was before anything else was. Some people act like Jesus just came along at the birth of Christ there in that little manger. That's the first time he existed. No, sir. He was before anything was made. He was before Adam and Eve. He was before the water, the deep, the land, the sky, the moon, the stars. He was before all these naturally because he is the creator of all those things. Now, in the last part of that verse, it says, by him all things consist. He's the sustainer of all things. Now, I'm talking about Jesus, the fullness of Christ being in us and everything else. He is the sustainer of all things. Now, that gets into some deep thought, doesn't it? Is he the creator and the sustainer of the coronavirus? Did he create germs and microbes and all these things? Well, sure, all those are in his creation. Nothing was created except he created it, and nothing consists unless he keeps it. That's something to think about, isn't it? Sure beats Benny Hinn, that crowd running around here rebuking the coronavirus. God's the one that created everything. How are you going to rebuke something that was created? And then it says that in verse 18, if you look at that, and he's the head of the body, the church. So now the church is supposed to be full of him. He's the head of the church, the body, the church. And second part of verse 18 says he's the firstborn from the dead. That means he's the first one to die and come back to life again. And that's mentioned in the same verse as the church, meaning we will resurrect. And he was the first one to show us the resurrection from the dead. Now, I said the fullness of Christ. He's in everything. Now, we don't see that when we're lost because we're blind. But as you read these scriptures, you start thinking about these things, you can see God not in all of creation. You can see God in the faces of people. You can see God in the little ant, even that aggravating fire ant. God is the creator of everything. And then I want you to notice this. Not only is he the creator, but he is, he says right here, the preeminent one. Verse 18, the last part of that verse. And he's the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. The preeminence means he is the top of the pile. He is the number one. He is the Alpha. Now, I know he's going to be the Omega because he's going to destroy it all and he'll be the Alpha. But listen, he is the Omega. He's the number one. He should have the preeminence. He should be preeminent in everything. It's all about Jesus. Now, we see that through all the way through the book of Colossians. Everything is for him, everything is from him, and everything is by him, and everything is to him. That makes him preeminent in that whole chapter. It's all about him. Our salvation is not about us, it's about him. Our keeping saved is not about us, it's about him. The grace of God through trial and tribulation and all these things, that's not about us, it's about him. Life is about him. Death is about him. Everything is about him. He's the preeminent one. Now, in the church, he's supposed to be the preeminent one. And thank God, he is. He is, at least in this church, it's all about him. And we need to keep it that way. But let me go on. Jesus is the head of the church, and I wrote this down so I wouldn't forget it. He is the only owner of a church. If a church is built in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, then it is his church. He's the owner. When we dedicate buildings to the Lord, what that means is we're saying, Lord, you gave this to us. Now we're giving it to you to honor you and to glorify you. It's not about us. There are no owners of the church. He owns the church. Let no member think that long service or large gifts deserve a lifetime in some office or some control over any part of any ministry, especially this one. Now, why is that, preacher? Because Jesus is supposed to be the preeminent one. He's the one we're supposed to sing about. He's the one we're supposed to talk about. He's the one we're supposed to teach about. He's the one we're supposed to preach about. He's the one we're supposed to testify about. He's the one that we give money and sacrifice to. He's the one that we give our children to. He's the one that we give our own bodies to. He's the preeminent one. And no one, no member of a church, no matter how long they've been there, or how long they've served in office, or how much they've given, or how much they've done, deserve any preeminence. They should not be exalted. He should be exalted. Now, Ephesians chapter 1, if you want to turn there with me, it's just one book back there. Look at verse 22. In verse 22, it says, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Did you hear that? He is the one. He put all things under his feet, and God gave him to be head over all things to the church, and that's his body. And the fullness of him, the church is supposed to be full of him. And if you leave him out, you don't have a church. And if you bring him down a level and make him number two, you don't have a church. And certainly the lower you bring him, the less you talk about him, the less you preach about him, the less you sing about him, the less you testify about him, the less you dedicate to him in the church, then the less it is about him and it's more about people and it's not his church anymore. I'm about through. My producer tell me to wind it up. I got a couple minutes. But listen, I'm trying to make this point. The fullness of Christ, not only in our life and in ourselves, which ought to be, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. It ought to be all about him. Our life ought to be. Not just Sunday. Not just Wednesday night. Not just that little prayer time, but all our life is supposed to be about him now. He adopted us into his family. And now the church is supposed to be full of him. Everything in the church belongs to him. The building, the property, the grass, the dirt, the parking lot, the seats, the pews, the lights, everything belongs to him. And it ought to be there to exalt him and make him the preeminent one. Now turn to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. I'm getting to a point. Hang on. Acts chapter 20. Look at verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves. He's saying, watch out. And to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. Talking to the pastors. To feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Jesus is the head of the church because he paid for the church with his own blood. And God is telling the pastors in the book of Acts that they need to watch out and make sure they do things right to make him, Jesus, the fullness of that church and everybody in it, the preeminent one in everything that's said and done, and he warns pastors to do that. Now, get your mind off the building. Thank God we got a nice building. I walk around here every day. I've rearranged some things and I clean stuff and work around here. Thank God. Boy's blessed us. Paid for. Thank God. Everything, lock, stock, and barrel, paid for. Thank God. And one day we're going to build a nice sanctuary if he lets us do it, if it's his will, and we'll do that, and that'll be his too. And thank God for that. But get your mind off the building. The church is not a building, it's a body. This is a body of local believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're connected by the Holy Spirit. We're supposed to have one mind, one spirit, and that's by the Holy Spirit, because we all have the Holy Spirit. When he saves us, he gives us the Holy Spirit. Now, Those that are saved that sit in the building, those are the church. Now, we're not forsake the assembling of ourselves together and just common sense and reading other parts in the Bible. If it's at all possible, we know that. There's been times through church history that churches have been scattered. Go read the book of Acts. They were scattered several times that they didn't get to assemble like they wanted to, but it worked out. Now, let me tell you this. The body, get your eyes off the positions in the church and the offices in the church and get your eyes on the ministry of the church. The ministry of the church is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, represent him on planet earth in this neighborhood, not Nashville or Washington or somewhere, but right here in this neighborhood. This is the church. The body, the people that sit in this church. It's our job to minister to the lost by witnessing to them and minister to one another by serving one another. Whether we have a building or not. Now, a lot of people say, well, preach, we can't have church. We don't have church. We do have a church. But see, this church belongs to Jesus Christ. It doesn't belong to you and I. And I, as pastor, have to be careful that I feed you what he'd have me feed you. And I do. You'd have to be on, if you'd be honest, you'd have to say, yeah, Preacher Ron feeds me what I need. And I try to feed, whether it's over this or over the telephone or in person or sitting in your living room or standing up here preaching, I have to do that. And I'll give account for that. But it's not my church, it's his church. Okay, it's not your church, it's his church. And it's not the building, it's the body, it's the people that fit together and make a church. And Jesus told Peter, he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. Now, we're scattered abroad right now. Go back and read the book of Acts. A lot of times they were scattered abroad. Read Exodus there, Genesis, you know, and then Exodus, and they were scattered abroad. But let me tell you something. God's church has never went under the body of Christ, the preeminent one. He takes care of his children. And he's taking care of us right now. Now, we're not doing it here all together, but we're still one body. And he's not going to let the devil stop that. So let's be patient. Wait on the Lord. And in a few weeks or months or whatever it might be, God will be finished with what he's doing on planet earth. If he's in it all, he created it all, he sustains it all, he's got a purpose for it all, and I don't know what he's doing, you don't know what he's doing, but we have to trust him to be the preeminent one. Now, he's above the president, he's above the doctors and the nurses, he knows what he's doing, he's guiding them, we got to trust that, and we need to pray that God will keep us. But we're always the church, whether we meet here or not. Now, don't worry, I'm getting excited about getting together, but get your mind off the building. It's not the building, it's us getting together as the church, as a body, an assembly, it's called. Be patient. Wait on the Lord. Now, here's the question. If he's to be number one in the body, the church of the living God, and it's a living organism made up of people that all fit together, in order for him to have preeminence in this church, to be number one, he has to have preeminence in each and every one of us. And not just here in this building. He has to have that at our house or at our work or wherever we are. He has to be number one in our life in order for us to make him number one in this place. You see, what hurts churches is they get scattered abroad of their own works, because they become divided and they start doing like the apostles did sometime. They argue over positions and titles. We don't need all that. What we need is to keep looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and trust him to bring us through this. And we're going to come back and we'll have a meeting when he lets us all of it go. But while he's doing that, why don't you make him the preeminent one where you are right now? Your house. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Why don't you make him preeminent in your house? And your kids, some of your kids are doing school online, or they're bringing books by by your house. You've been complaining for years that there's no prayer in public schools. Well, how's your school going at your house? Are you praying with your kids and reading them the Bible before you start the math lesson? You see, he's got to be preeminent in everything. And I think that's what the Lord's working on us about, to make him preeminent in everything about us, in our lives, so that when we do come together, we'll have our mind on him, and by him we'll consist. Maybe you've never been saved. If you're not saved, he still holds your body together. If it wasn't for the power of God through the Lord Jesus Christ, his creating power, his sustaining power, he holds it all together. You'd fly off in outer space. The molecules in your skin would just fly off. You'd disintegrate. Even if you're lost, the grace of God keeps you alive. The grace of God lets you live and walk and talk. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What you ought to do during this time of isolation is get your Bible out and turn to the Gospel of John in the New Testament, read it all the way through. And if you're not saved, you ought to bow your head and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, but I don't want to go to hell. And I believe Jesus died for me. And I'm going to put my life in his hands. He created it. I'm going to give it to him. And better than that, I'm going to give him my eternal life also and ask him to come in your heart and your life and save you. He will. I guarantee. He said if you call, he'll answer. And he doesn't play. So why don't you make him the preeminent one in your life and then you'll become a Christian too. Thank God. March 5th, 1978, I did. Now, Christian, you keep trusting. You keep the faith. You keep doing what you're supposed to do. You stay clean. You stay holy. You sanctify you and your house. And be careful. And God's going to bring us through this thing. And what a day that will be. Father, bless the invitation. Somebody out there needs to be saved. And I pray they're watching tonight. And they bow their head and ask you to forgive them of their sins and come into heart and life and save them and give them eternal life. And then give them the faith to believe that. And then there's some out there, Lord, that's wandered away from you. They've made their own will and their own self preeminent. They put their will above your will. I pray you get them right tonight. Get them back to where they used to be. And then for those that's doing the best they can, God, to keep you number one, I pray you'd strengthen, give them health, give them the ability to go on, and then one day we'll get together again in the local assembly. Until then, thank you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank y'all for tuning in. I'll see you in the morning at 10 o'clock. Bye.
I was able to tag some people, and even when I was back there, I got my phone out so I could invite some people. So, I'm going to close this.